Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Our Ustaz Rahmatullah used to say that people are of three categories. One is complete man, second is half a man, and the third is a one entity. So let's start from the reverse. The non-entity is, he doesn't have the right sense of understanding and reasoning, nor does he consult. He doesn't have the ability to understand and see things correctly in perspective, and nor does he have the heart to be going to consult with someone. So obviously he's a write-off. Nowadays, when explaining concepts, then I see the need to explain illustrations as well. Because just the concept without the illustration, very few people get it. Some 1982 or 83 somewhere. So I was in Johannesburg. Maybe a little later, a little earlier. And there were some professional people. So the discussion was about reasoning. Why can't we reason? Mu'adh ibn Jabal also said, أَشْتَهِدُ بِرَأْيِ وَلَا أَعْلُ. I will employ my reasoning. So why can't any person, every person use his reasoning? So I heard them out, and after some time then explained. Like I said, that people understand through illustrations. So I explained that I read an article from the Sunday Times, someone posted it to me. And that article was about a group of people that say that we are Orthodox Christians, who by the book we're Orthodox, and we keep ourselves committed to the book. In the next line it says, but they also practice wife swapping. So now, I'm wondering now how they're going to reconcile that. They're Orthodox, but they practice this as well. So they say, but Christ taught us to share our bread. See that? Maqis and Maqis Ali. So a lot of time I will explain to students that you see this Nur al-Anwar, Usul al-Shashi, it's not just a routine. You understand the concept, understand the application as well. If you only understood the concept and you didn't apply it, then you didn't understand it. Now, but see how they moved, the thinking, how it moved away. Now I explain, if an alim doesn't know Qiyas, Maqis, Maqis Ali, can he explain them the flaw in their reasoning? Can he explain? So he needs to know this art of Qiyas so that he can point out to them this is the flaw in your reasoning. But he hasn't understood it. So one is a non-entity. He doesn't have a brain of himself, nor does he consult. Or if he consults, then he consults the wrong person. So you can be consulting, but are you consulting with the right person? So in the consultation as well, there's two steps. One is you are consulting with 10 people, and you're taking 10 people's opinions. Right. So there too, you cannot say the nafs is having the better over you or not. And especially when it comes to your spiritual reformation, because it's all about reformation and reforming what? Reforming the nafs. And then you're taking 10 people's opinions, so can you say that the nafs has the bit over you, you commanding the nafs, or the nafs is commanding you? Can you say that? One alim wrote up to Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he's the contemporary of Mullah, so he can talk a little bit freely. So he says that, see, I'm in a financial constraint and I need about 100,000. And you see, a lot of people come and they link themselves up to you for the reason of Islah and Reformation. Right? So now when they come there for Reformation, and obviously Reformation is a struggle, because the nafs is saying something and you have to work against the nafs. So that's a struggle, right? So when it's a struggle, then it amounts to do something against your nafs, like imposing a penalty upon yourself. So when they have to impose a penalty, then the penalty asks them to forward it to me. See, you committed this wrong, so you impose a penalty upon yourself. Then I'll give 10,000, so the 10,000 you forward it to me. But I see the nafs. Or Maulvi ka nafs, to Maulvi hota hai. Now, is it easy to break this type of reasoning? So Mawlana opened the thing out to him. He said, see, it's possible that he's got a problem with the nafs, right? But the solution doesn't have to be him taking out money and spending. That may not be the solution. One king, so he went to the Mufti Sahib of the time, and he says, I intentionally broke my roza in Ramadan, so what is the kafara? So the alim told him, feed 60 people, otherwise 60 rozas consecutively. So he says to the king, but can't I just do with feeding 60 people? The king is, can't I just do it for feeding 60 people? So that Mufti Sahib says, no, you mustn't do it. You must keep 60 rozas. So the students asked the alim later on, but why did you insist that he must keep the 60 rozas consecutively? He says, you see, a penalty is what? Jaza'am bima kasaba nakalam min Allah. It must be a lesson. Nakal is like a lesson. This king here, for another 500 years, if he has to feed 60 people, it won't make a dent on his treasure. So is that going to be a lesson for him? But one for once, he had to keep 60 rozas consecutively. It's going to be heavy on him. He'll never break his roza again. So you see, if you just subject yourself to your own reasoning, or to some 5-10 people, or a person that you know, that he will curry favor with you. He'll give you something relaxed. So the nafs won't come right. So the second person, I showed you the first person, the second person is half a person. Half a person is, he's got brains, he can understand, but he doesn't consult. So he thinks, well, I got a brain, I can understand, I can read between the lines, I know it. So what's the need for me to reason? Well, it is the plan of Allah Ta'ala that the world will work with reasoning, with asking, with consulting. Fas'alu ahl al-zikr. Doesn't it say, find out? And we are like non-entities, completely non-entities. Rasul-e-Basim is instructed for shawirhu. You subject yourself to mashwara. See that? Reasoning is something else. I won't go into the reasoning because it will take a lot of time. But even the Nabi Sassim is commanded that you subject yourself to a mashwara. Shawirhum. So, he's got a brain, but he doesn't consult. So that's second class. Then the third class is he's got a brain, but he subjects himself to a mashwara. So that person is perfect. He can reason, and he also subjects himself to some mashwara. So this consulting and finding out is an important element in Islam. Now, you get many type of marital problems, and the person will tell you, but you know, you made istikhara, and why didn't it work out? Sometimes you get the boy saying, but we made istikhara, it worked out positive, but why are they not accepting? So as though now, that istikhara was like a wahi, and now that girl must accept. What if that girl made istikhara, and that istikhara is saying, no, I mustn't get married with? There's a clash of istikharas here. So the ulama write, explain about this whole this istikhara thing. They say, if you already, if there's already an affinity, right, with the person that you wish to choose, then the istikhara is not going to be a conclusive thing. Why? Because that thing is playing up in your mind all the time. When it's playing up in your mind, then it's likely that you'll see the same person. I know, around 1986 or something, right? One person says, I made istikhara for a certain girl, came positive. I asked him, who's that girl? He said, my wife's sister. I said, that's shaitan. He's telling me, I saw my wife. So how could you? أَنْ تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ. That's against the nas of the Quran Sharif. But now you see this. So they bypass the mashwara and they go straight to istikhara. Well, istikhara works out positive, so it must happen. As though that istikhara of this is a wahi. Really, if you don't subject yourself, kaam nahi hoga. In the day of Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Ali, so the head of the police was Ziauddin Sunami Rahmatullah Ali. And Ziauddin Sunami Rahmatullah Ali, he was against Sima. Nobody have Nazams and all that. He was against it. But he is the head of the police. And the police is obviously instructed and commanded by the state that you must keep law and order. So it came from the admin, from the state it came. Right? So it's an order. And it's an order you have to execute. So anyway, Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi cannot do without Sima. Now, the Sima that he did, he explains it himself. Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi, he shows the parameters of the Sima that he did. And he shows the parameters of the Sima that is permissible. So he's given four conditions. He says, the content must be right. I can't be giving a love song here, or talk about haram things, and say no, it's sima. Number one. Number two is, it mustn't be accompanied with any type of musical instruments. Number three, the person that is reciting it, he mustn't be an imra'a or an amrad. Right? He mustn't be a woman or a youngster with girlish features. And number four is, all the participants must be on the same page. They all, like Ahlullah, or they've got a commitment to Islam, rectification, reformation. Now the Sima is right. One more time, Isa Abraham came up to Delhi for some work, and one of his old acquaintance, not a friend, acquaintance, met up with him. So he met up with him, and it's a time of the Urus in Nizamuddin Awliya. So this acquaintance is telling him, but we are going to the Sima, why don't you come up? So Munaz's reply was, that I fear perhaps, that Nizamuddin Sahib Rahmatullahi will not approve of my presence. He says, if he won't approve of your presence, then whose presence he'll approve? And why do you say that he won't approve of your presence? He says, see, Hazrat Nizamuddin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has made these four conditions. And I don't think so. I don't think that I can conform to that standard. When I cannot conform to the standard, then will he be pleased with my presence? So that person says, you know, definitely you will conform with that standard. And definitely we don't. But this beautiful manner of tabligh, I haven't seen before. The way you pointed the whole thing out to us, I haven't seen from anybody else. See, so you need to say the truth, but how? Right? How to say it? Sometimes the youngsters complain, but this one is so strict and he's banging and he's shouting all that. So I say, see, we all of us are like children, right? All of us are like children. And you leave us in the class unsupervised, kya hoga? There'll be any control in the class. So the ustad will have to come and make a noise. Shh, donkey, what's wrong with you? Right, he'll get some control. So some of our ulama are in that position of supervisors. They're shouting us for our own good. But we only come to our senses late on in life. And he doesn't have the time now to give a 20-hour taqreer for us to understand it. But he's shouting and he gets some discipline. So he's moving on. Again he sees a misbehavior, again he will shout and he'll get us going. But I ask you, don't we require that? If the ustad don't want to shout, what's going to happen? At the end of the year, all will fail. The good and the bad, all will fail. So we talk of Nizamuddin and Ziauddin. Ziauddin service. No tweet at all, complete. So, Nizamuddin, Rahmatullah Ali, so you're going through a spiritual experience, right? And if you don't know what's an experience, then don't emulate and don't quote. Because he's going through something that's beyond your understanding, beyond your reach. So now, you emulating, I say emulating is the hal, or is an emulation. Emulation is a different thing, and an experience is a different thing. If you're not going through that experience, don't emulate. So anyway, he's going through that, and because he's going through that, he's constrained. When he's constrained, like he's listening to some sama. Hazrat Ziauddin Sahib hears about it, and he puts a stop to it. So when he puts a stop to it, Hazrat Nizamuddin Sahib Rahmatullah says, agar maine Hazrat Sarkar e Do Alam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam se iski ta'yid aur tasdeeq kar li to, if I get the support from Hazrat Rasool e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, usi ki wajah se hum to mana karte hain. Unhi ki wajah se to mana karte hain. We are stopping this because of him. Agar usi ne tasdeeq kar li, to mana karne ki kya wajah? He supports what we are doing. There's no reason for us then to stop this. So all right. So as it wasn't long after that, Nizamuddin Rahmatullah went into a spiritual ecstasy. Ziauddin is the police, head of the police, caught him by the hand and he seated him. In a ecstasy and he stood up. So he caught him and sat him down. And again, some time passed and he went again into that ecstasy. Right? Ziauddin caught him again and seated him. And the third time when it happened, Ziauddin himself stood up in a lot of respect. And then he sat down. So they asked now, Nizamuddin Sahib and Ziauddin, kya ho gaya bhai? You were stopping this and now you also stopped, you stood up with him. First time you stopped, second time you stopped him, and the third time you stood up with him. What happened? So he says, you see, that first time that it happened to him, uski rooh to saatve aasman ke upar pahunch gaya. His rooh had reached the seventh heaven. Aur meri rasai bhi wahan tak hai. I also reached, I am also at that level. So I could just catch him by the hand and sit him down. Or when it happened for the second time, it was even higher, and then Meri Rasai bhi wahan tak hai, I reached there as well, so I caught him. Or teesri martaba to poocho hi mat. The third time when it happened, then it was beyond. Then we're in the presence of Rasool Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then I have to stand up in respect. I ask you, if your father or someone comes now here, won't you stand up out of respect? Yeah. So out of respect I stood up. Then Hazrat Nizamuddin Sahab Rahmatullahi asks Hazrat Ziyauddin, dekho maine kehlwaya. See, I got no racism. So sir, kya kehlwaya? So Nabi Sahib told him, Faqir ko pareshan kyu karte ho? This buzurg now, why are you harassing him? So his reply to the Rasulullah Pastam was that, see, we have two of your teachings. One is your teaching in the wakeful state. And this teaching of ours is in a spiritual state. So, which teaching is the teaching that we go by? What we have learned from you with the unbroken chain of narrators, or we are going through this we're seeing this in a spiritual state. So at that time, Bishop said, obviously, that which has reached you with an unbroken chain of narrators, that is the thing that you would follow, not this. So see how the discussion ended. Now, what we are doing now, sorry, making zikr jari, swinging his head, and we do it. He do something else, making muraqaba, we do it. One more time, Isa Brahma says that in Punjab, we went to the place where they talk about nine Ambiya. Yeah, the other place? Birasa, we went to the place. He said he went with his Ustad Rafiuddin Sahib Rahmatullahi to Biras, and there were some students also. So Mawla Rafiuddin Sahib made some muraqaba at the grave. So the students also saw that they should be muraqaba. He is reached there, so hum bhi pahunche hue. We also have that baqa. So this is a problem, right? Rasai nahi, to ab dikhate kyu phirte? So why are you pretending to be what you aren't? Be your normal state. The soul teaches you, just be your normal state, simple, straightforward. I explained previously. Al-mutashabbi'u bima lam yu'ta. Kalabisi sawbay zurin. You pretend to be what you aren't. You're not that, but you're pretending to be. Allah doesn't like that. Man yata'alla yukadhibhu Allah. You pretend to be what you aren't, Allah will show you that you're a liar. See, you want to show something, so Allah will show you, will disprove you. So that comes a little bit of an anecdote. I say, you must have a little bit of an illustration to get the concept. So one person is in the army, he's doing some menial job he's doing. And suddenly he's got a promotion, got an office of his own. And you're talking about 40 years ago, you see, when we didn't have all this technology, all that, So now he's got a private office, become a little bit of an official senior position. So there's a knock on the door. Straight away he took the phone. I'm just clinching the deal with Mr. Clinton for $50 billion here, buying some arms from Russia. And we just did the deal with North America. In the meanwhile, he finished, do all the talking. When the talking was over, then he saw, alright, you may come in. Can I help you? No, I just came to connect the plug. See, you can't dibhullah. You want to pretend to be what you're not, you'll get disgraced, you'll get embarrassed. Just be your normal self. Just remain where you are. Rasulullah also told Ibn Sayyad, لَن تَعْدُوَ قَدْرَكَ. Just remain at your place. Don't exceed. Don't go beyond that. So anyway, we're talking about this Nizamuddin and Hazrat Ziauddin Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhima. And Ziauddin Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhima, if I don't say this, then you won't know the maqam of this Hazrat, right? You need to know the maqam, respect the maqam, so listen to the tatimmah, completion. So Ziauddin is on his deathbed, Rahmatullah Alayhima. Ziauddin also is a very good Muslim. So this Kandalvi families, a lot of them link up to the Ziauddin Rahmatullah Alayhi. I don't know exactly which families, but a lot of them, a lot of the Buzuganadi, they link up there. So he's on his deathbed, and Hazrat Nizamuddin comes to pay him respect. Iyadatul Mariz. Isn't that a sunnah? So all these Buzuganadi, they are converted to the sunnah. To the last. Even at the deathbed now, someone is dying and his khadim making wuzu. The khadim forgot to do the masah. Hey, can't even talk. Didn't do the masah. Or he didn't do the khilal. Insisting, do it. But the Shaykh was the same. He could, last day or something, he couldn't talk so well. His words are coming out, but not so clearly. And the khadim missed out the khilal. No, he missed out the miswak. So they insisted, we'll move forward with the wuzu after the miswak is done. But right at that point also, they won't leave out the sunnah. Because they saw that everything else is an experience, and the standard is the sunnah. And for whatever it is, the sunnah cannot be overlooked. So, Iyadatul Mariz is also a sunnah. Well, since we are going into this Iyadatul Mariz, some brothers have started. But it's tragic, people don't want to take care of the Mariz. You know, one is a level of faraz. It's your immediate relative. And forget the Iyadat, to make khidmat, if the person needs the khidmat, is a faraz. It's not an option. It's an immediate close relative. Now forget the khidmat, you don't want to make Iyadat. So I had to explain the class this morning, you know. But you see, at first I thought I'm shouting here, but now that I got support from Abu Subhanuddin, I read Hazrat Ahmed's kitab, then Abrar Hamtai, his kitab, and both saying the same thing. So now I got a support, now I can talk about it. So now you got some additional money, so what's the general take? Let's go for a holiday, a little bit pious, go for Umrah. But it's, both of them are saying, but see, just look around you, maybe 2 kilometers around you, right? And you'll find an informal settlement. And more than ever you'll find that they don't have the basics, poor chaps. Sometimes they don't have one meal for the day. But in that halat also, we got the heart to go holiday here, Umrah that side. Inka khane ka thikana nahi. So, ye kasawat e qalbi ki kya hal hogi? We're seeing the jundols right just behind, near us. We've got the money for all this thing here. But what needs to be done? You know, there's a tarteeb. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. There's a tarteeb. Now you forget the tarteeb and just carry on like this. I say, ye kasawat e qalb ki alamat hai ya nahi? All these people are forgotten. Shoot straight. So this Iyadat of Mariz. So he's coming to do the Iyadat, to visit the sick. In the meanwhile, he's asked permission. Ziyamuddin, our Rahmatullah, says, he's telling the Khadim, he's telling that میں مرض الوفات سکرات میں ہوں اور اس حالت میں بدعتی کے چہرے کو دیکھنا چاہتا نہیں. I'm on my last lap. In this state, I don't want to see the face of a bidati. Who is he talking to? Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah. So Hazrat Nizamuddin Sahab Rahmatullah gives an answer. He says, یہ فقیر مستاخ نہیں, بدعت سے توبہ کر کے آپ یہاں حاضری دے رہا ہے. I'm not disrespectful. I've made tawbah from this thing here, and now I'm coming to you. Right? As he said this, now, Ziyauddin, when he got this answer, Ziyauddin took out his turban. If someone knows about India and the protocols, you know, then you'll appreciate this. So, when you want to show the highest level of respect, then you take out your turban, present it before the person. As though he can't reach a level of greater humility than taking out his turban. You know, in English, I take out my hat for you. So all these things that vary from Arabic, I take out my hat. So they take out the turban. I take out the turban and roll it out and ask him to walk on my turban and come here. I said, "Main Hazrat Nizamuddin ke maqam ko janta hu. I understand his position. He must walk on this." Hazrat Nizamuddin sahab rahmatullah on his side, he says, "Dastare fazilat hai. This turban is a turban that is holding on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His preaching is holding on to that sunnah. So this cannot be trampled upon. This needs to be placed on my head." Anyway, they meet. At that moment now, that poetry that is said, it's too beautiful. It says, "Anake ba Gosha e chashm kimya kuni aya bod ke nazar bama kuni gosha e chashm bama kuni." This is if your nazar gets onto somebody, it will just turn him into a buzurg, just one nazar. Allama Iqbal says, "Na kitabo se, na wazo se, nazar se, buzurgon ki nazar se deen zinda hota hai." That nazar must get you. So he says, you are at that level, one nazar gets into the person, you know, and then that person is just changed. You know, he must look at you with a nazar of love and muhabbat, and you are just changed. Now this nazar of the buzurg, what it is? Or is it an unplanned talk? Really, everything is unplanned. Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah, who's the Sheikh of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah. So he is in Randir one day, and the head Mufti at that time in Randir was Mufti Mahdi Hassan. Mufti Mahdi Hassan thereafter came to Deoband, right? And Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib looked at one young lad, very beautiful, looked at him for some time, and turned his side, and again looked at him. Mufti Mahdi Hassan Sahib is thinking now, kya ho gaya Hazrat Saharanpuri ko, ke is jawan khubsurat ko dekh rahe hain, what's wrong, why is he looking at him? Now, he said, "I was surprised that for the first time in his life, I saw that youngster in the masjid there. First time." At one nazar, the first time. And not long after that, it was Ramadan, and he insisted that he was sitting in itikaf with me. Right. And thereafter, the respect that he showed to Mufti Mahdi Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says that he treated me as though like I'm his ustad. He's like, he wants to go to the toilet and give me permission. The whole change in his life, this one nazar, and that whole, the youngster, he just changed. Absolute change. Turnabout. Then I'm tracing this thing here, Then many of us may have heard the story of that Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi, and that youngster putting up a house, right? So he had about 300,000-400,000 dirhams, and he wanted to put up the house. 300,000-400,000 dirham, how much it is? You multiply it, get it right, you multiply by 40. How you get that? Is the zakat nisab is 200 dirhams, right? So you're equating to rand, you multiply by much? 40. 40, because that's the rate of one dirham, approximately. So how much that is? That's 8,000. Not 300,000 and 40, how much? A couple of millions, isn't it? So this youngster got the 300,000 dirhams and putting up a place. Malik bin Dinar sees this youngster very beautiful and puts one nazar on him. Second nazar. And then he approaches this youngster, you know, I want to make a deal with you. I want to know how much will you spend on this house here, so much. It's alright. Will you mind, will you agree if I take that money and give it out in charity with this agreement that I will secure a house for you in Jannah? Most of us must have heard this story, right? So the youngster said, well, give me one day. I said, right. Next day, the youngster said, no, it's on. And he wrote the whole agreement. Malik bin Dinar has taken 300,000 for a place in Jannah for so-and-so youngster. Right? So Malik bin Dinar spent that money. 1-2 days later, that youngster passed away. And he passed away. The whole thing is written now. And the youngster said that this thing must be buried in my grave when you are burying me. Anyway, Malik bin Dinar went to pay his, after someone passed away, you offer condolence, went to offer condolence. So who was there at the time of burial, etc. So what did he ask, you know, for this paper? So right, this is the paper here. So Wallah, this is the paper I've seen. And he turned the thing, on, in Noor it was written that he secured his place in Jannah. But now this is Buzuruk Ki Nazar. Now you don't go see a handsome youngster and say, no, I got Buzuruk Ki Nazar, I could do the same thing. This is all imitation. So this is imitation, Allah doesn't like that. Al-Mutashabbi'u bima lam yu'ta. So nonetheless, we are talking of Mashwara. And the importance of Mashwara. Right? So, I asked some ulama-i kiram, morning, last week or so, why did the Quran Sharif subject us to Mashwara? Why? Amruhum shura bainahum wa shawirhum fil amr. Why? There may be many reasons. But the reason that's come to my mind is that the whole crux, the whole essence of our ibad, our service to Allah Ta'ala is to bring abdiyat. Ma khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. To bring abdiyat into you. To make you feel that you're just a servant and non-entity. Right? So no matter what levels you have reached, right, when you subjected yourself, right, then you don't think anything of yourself. Yeah, I subject myself to the mashwara. Whatever the mashwara is going to say, I will go with it. But now, if you didn't subject yourself to that mashwara, so why must I submit myself to this person here? See that, why must I subject myself? So, is there that level of humility that is required and desired in the Sharia? But if you subjected yourself then, see that, that abjad is coming out. That thought is coming to my mind, but now I'll subject myself. But then, see, like in medicine, same will happen in the spiritual realm, that you will subject yourself to the mashwara of one person. In your treatment, you don't take the treatment from 10 specialists at one time. You see the specialist of your choice and you go with him. Here again, one person and you will subject yourself. Otherwise, if you don't do that, especially in the spiritual realm, then the nafs can have the bit over you. Because, like in fiqh now, if you don't subject yourself to one imam, what happens? They're still free. Doesn't it happen? So you saw, alright, the four imams are saying that three talaqs in one sitting is three talaqs, khalas, end of the story. But the Zahiriyya are saying that no, Zahiriyya and some of the Khair Muqallideen are saying that three is equal to one. So now it's just a mazhab here, let me just take this. So I ask you, will there be any direction after that? Then the nafs will have the bit over you. Where I want to choose a certain path, let me take this. and I want to choose another path, let me take this. Why you didn't convert yourself? And I say you, in all matters of instruction and education, you need to have that level of commitment. If the child comes, I'm doing hifz, I'm doing kitabs or qirat, well, qari sahib will come and do this, I'll be there for the half hour. Next period I'll go to this qari sahib, I'll do something, some other kitab there, and the next period I'll do this. I ask you, will he get his qirat right, tajweed right? He'll have to give his commitment to the one qari sahib, let the qari sahib take him through the phases, inshallah one day he'll be a qari sahib. He goes to that iftar course or that alim course, he'll be a good alim one day. So now, let me choose randomly, a little bit here, a little bit this side, a little bit this side. Natija kya hoga? He'll be a kachumar after that. So he'll have to commit himself to one person to get that. So the importance of mashwara. So that mashwara will bring that level of humility. And that humility is the requirement of your progress. As I mentioned this a couple of times to us, says, someone asked us, Muhtanmi Sahib Rahmatullahi, Oro ke yaha to fana to aakhiri kadam hai. Aur aap ke yaha to pehla kadam hai. So I said, yeah, mera to yahi isai hai, ke pehla kadam par fana. But what is fana? Kill yourself. Annihilate yourself. What do you mean by annihilate? Means, don't have a suggestion of your own. Then you just go with your sheikh. Like you are on the operating table, right? So as they're putting you there, they tell you, right, you're operating, internal operation. So for 20 hours, you're not going to eat anything. So are you going to give your 2 cents to that surgeon? Yeah? And if he feels sorry for you, all right, put something. The bra is going and I can see, you know, you're really, really struggling to eat something. Will it work out? It'll cause problems for you. You know, just subject yourself. So for a physical thing, you need to subject yourself to his instruction. It is not compulsory and for us. So a spiritual thing then, how much more you need to do it? Subject yourself. Now that subjecting yourself, that is the trial in this age. See, subject yourself. Leave out that fana means your rai, your opinions, just leave it aside and just move on. As the more you leave your eye, you become like a non-entity, then you see, start seeing things in perspective. And until that, you don't see things in perspective. You still have that questioning mind, why this, and why not like that, and I must listen to him, and but he's claiming to be a Nabi. That Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul said that. When, you know, that verse, إِذَا قِيَمْ تَعَالُوا يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَوَّوْ رُؤُسَهُمْ. So, at first when he came, when his people from the Khazraj, and people told him, you know what, go to Rasulullah and Rasulullah will make dua for you. So he turned his face away. Love of Rusam. At that time, Ubadah ibn Samit tried to persuade him, but this is the right thing. So his response was exactly like you get the normal youth or the normal alim seen today. He said, you see, you asked me to accept iman, so I accepted iman. You told me to give zakat, so I'm giving zakat. Now, what you want? You want me to bow down and make sadaq Rasulullah Rasulullah. So, Ubadah said at that time, definitely some ayats will be revealed now. And the whole surah Munafiqun will come up. But you see that attitude that we're showing. For a material thing you prepare to go. But the attorney says, just go, listen to me. Close eyes will listen. Doctor says, just listen to me. But in the spiritual realm, no, but he's not a Nabi. Why must I give him that level of commitment? What he thinks of himself? So when that what and why, when that comes, then that's the obstruction. That comes like the impediment. And that blocks the whole passage. Can't move afterwards. I'll be thinking now, why is no progress? And I'm getting jammed up again. Jammed up here, I'm looking this time, I'm getting jammed up all the time. We're talking about mashwara, right? Then you will make mashwara with the people that have that level and that experience. You're putting up a house, so you'll consult with an architect. Plumbing, you'll consult with a plumber. So similar exactly here, the person that knows Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. The one that is acquainted, he knows this, then you will ask him. But you must make sure, you verify that this person knows it or doesn't know it. He's taking a chance, he's a novice, he's got the experience, or doesn't have the experience. Take your time, understand, and then give the commitment. Otherwise, iski suno, uski suno, uski baad bhi zara achhi lagti hai, this is also right, this is also right. What happens to your mind? Because a majmua of a lot of things. Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullahi is about the last kings, successful kings of India. After him came Zafar Shah, after he's finished, right? So he was about the most successful, ruled India for approximately 50 years. So, India's Muslim population, or the whole population today, is approximately 1.6 billion. That's about quarter of the world population. A little bit less than quarter, right? So you can imagine what's the population. That is today, right? So you're talking of Alamgir's times about 200 years ago, right? So it must have been less. But also must keep in mind, that was the undivided India. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Burma, Ceylon, all that together. So it wasn't a small thing. Massive thing, right? And he's one ruler, king. So, as he's getting things straight this side here, there's a revolt that side. Getting straight things this side here, someone is revolting, rebelling on that side. So everything has to be calmed down, has to get control. So, the opposition at that time was some virility. That's like a nationality, or that's the race. And that was his opposition. So, as he got him down, Alamgir Rahmatullahi suppressed him. So he complained to his mother, his virility, he complained to his mother that you see all our stocks depleted. What do we do? Everything is finished now. What do we do? See Mashwara. So the mother says, you consult with Alamgir. Ma, he's my opposition. He's after my throat, after my blood. How can I go and consult with him? Mother said, yes, he is your opposition, but he is a devoted Muslim. So what? Then he is a devoted Muslim, then what? So his deen says, مَنِسْتُشِيرَ إِلَيْهِ فَلْيُشِيرْ بِمَا هُوَ صَانِعٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. If you've been consulted, then you give your honest opinion. What you feel is right at that time, you give that opinion. So this man, he's my opposition, but he's a devout Muslim. So when he's a devout Muslim, he'll give an honest opinion. He won't give an opinion just to suit himself. See, so you know, it happens to us as well. So the student will come and ask, you know, what to do. So I want to fill up the Hifz class. I'm going to do Hifz. Does it happen to us or not? I want to fill up a certain thing, I will do it. He's asking about, for example, buying a car. Well, what car must buy? So, no. I'm selling Volvo, right? Buy Volvo. And I got the best dealership. Buy from me. Is that an honest opinion? Not an opinion. You see what's best for that person. Now, that's called an honest person. Otherwise, I'm turning it around to my convenience, to my benefit. Is that an honest opinion? So that honesty in that level, what does it require? فَلْيُشِرْ بِمَا هُوَ صَانِيُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. What are you supposed to be doing? But the best thing, you will do that. So, he must be of that level of honesty. Abu Zuhana didn't say that there are just two people in life that would want more for you than their own selves. One is the sheikh, provided he's a real sheikh, and one is the father, right? Now you see it in the madrasa, father is like a chimney smoking away, right? See the son, you smoke, I break your legs for you. So he wants something better for his son than himself. Sometimes you listen to the father read Quran Sharif, the masjid says, hey, koi tajweed ka tikana nahi, nothing, he can't read at all. But you better get your tajweed right. Get your qiraat right. I don't get any mistakes. But you see, the father wants something better for his son than himself. And the sheikh, if he's a real sheikh, he wants something better for him than himself. Because the whole base is upon sincerity. If it's based upon sincerity, then I want the best for you. Even if it means that you're overtaking, it's alright. But otherwise then, you're not fit to be called a sheikh. If you don't have that level of sincerity, or it's such a level of dishonesty that we've reached, you know. And the dishonesty is very discreet. One person was here, so he's telling me, you know how wealthy I am. He's boasting about himself. He's a little bit learned, but you know, what money you made, fortune. But you know how we started. So I'm not interested in the story because of money, all of those things, you got it, so what? You don't have it, so what? Not a big deal. It's good for you, alright, you got it, mashallah. And you don't have it also, it's not a problem. So I mustn't respect you just because of the wealth. So now we reach that point, I respect you according to your finances. This person here, so, Hazrat, come here, sit down. And we quote all the hadiths of the Anzilun, Nasa, Manazilum, everything, based only on wealth. The state is on, just on wealth. But if the same person that was wealthy one day, right, and he lost it then, will you ask yourself, will you give him the same respect? Alright, we'll see you, tomorrow, you come tomorrow. But as long as he had the wealth, then Anzilun, Nasa, Manazilum. And then he lost the wealth, then the whole respect is gone. So see that dishonesty, the discrepancy. It's a very serious thing. So anyway, the mother is suggesting that you consult with Alamgir Rahmatullah because he's a devout Muslim and he'll give you an honest opinion. This honesty, this is what we're looking for. It's something mafkood, it's extinct. Can't find it. The youngsters come in. They get very fired up, you know. Palestine, the scene must go, fight. Trigger happy. Yeah? So, a few days back, I've seen them very. But it's so unfair. How unfair? Why? You know, we would go make jihad, give our lives. Alright. So, just quiz them a little bit, see. See, you want to give your life. Why you want to give your life? Because you feel that someone's life or someone's rights are being violated. That's the reason, isn't it? His rights are being violated. So, you want to offer your life. And you're standing up to protest, march, boycott, whatever that, right? But now look again properly. Is your reasoning right? Simultaneously, the world's biggest music festival is taking place. Did you ever bat an eye for that? Did you protest? Did you boycott? Do anything? Can you see this? The discrepancy here stood up. Here, the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah is being violated, trampled, boastfully, arrogant attitude. And nobody bats an eye. Nobody thinks anything about it. One of those things now, Allah will give them tawfiq. Here you want to give your life. So why is there discrepancy? Why? One side, you become so agitated, so infuriated. And the other side is calm, not even voicing, not expressing, you know, your disapproval for this. Is that right, I ask you? Is the reasoning right? And again, youngsters keep asking. And nowadays you can't just silence them, you know. Before say, chup-chap, bijab. But now if you want to keep quiet, it's alright. It's alright. So you fought, and after you fired, you fought, you got control, right? Nothing, just open your minds and reason. Hazrat Ahmad should say, ye deen, jazbaat pura karne ka naam nahi. Deen is not just expressing your emotions. some Josh came and I just did it. And I think, you know, that's it. That's Dean. Josh, Dean, Chasbat, Zion Karne ka naam nahi hai. So, all right, you fought and you got the control, right? And every Muslim will desire, and he should desire, that Islam should rule, Muslims should prevail, every Muslim should, right? But now, after you got the control, right? So, there'll be someone that will control. And if you got the control, now there'll be someone that will control. You can call him, the one that's under control, you can call him a king, call him the head of the state, call him a prime minister, whatever name you give, but he's the control, right? So you put him there, right? And as he came out of the control, so he has legalized wine, right? Brothels, music festivals, right? You speak out against him in prison. So I ask you now, where have you got greater Islamic freedom? Here or there? Where have you got more freedom to express your deen freely? Right. So then I ask the student, alright, now the next question will be, then was this, be like sitting ducks, don't do anything. So no. There's a solution for that as well. There's a solution for that also. And the solution in simple layman's term is ingush and outgush. Simple layman's term what? More or less explain that. It says, see, لِتُنْذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَىٰ وَمَنْ حَوْلَىٰ. Now, how to explain this? So, once you call some prominent people, you know, some schools, big schools. So I said, yeah, I called you. I didn't call you because I got an interest in your school. Well, I want to send my children, you know, alhamdulillah. Allah will protect me from all that. But then you'll be curious to know that why I called you. I called you because, you see, my children are growing, right? And your children are also growing, right? All are growing up, right? For social reasons, for business reasons, for marital reasons, this children will be going that side, and that children will be coming this side. So, if we got both the sides on the same page, then they're doing business or socializing or marrying, it'll go in harmony, it'll go right, right? Because both are on the same page. But if one is on the one page and the other is totally different, will there be harmony? Will there be peace? Will there be understanding? So, to work on yourself and to work on the outside. To work on yourself and to work on the outside, that means you're at least trying to look after the next generation. So you work on yourself, alright? How much I can do of the neighboring districts around, in around, and everybody doesn't have to do the same work, right? Then there'll be a duplication. If everybody is doing the same work, then deen also is supply and demand. According to the demand of the Sharia, you supply. According to the demand of the Sharia, proportionately, you will supply. Right? So now, if both on the same page, this side and that side, then inshallah, then what will happen in time, if there is a control, the control will be on the same page. Because the control is who? Is from the people, for the people. Isn't it? The control is from the people, and is for the people. So when you worked on yourself, and the people around, then you got the land and you got the control. Now you got it, now it's running peacefully. But you just fought for control only, you know, with blinkers, only control. Natija kya hoga? Then I decided, after all this, then I explained the ayat of the Quran Sharif. I won't give the Quran Sharif ayat straight away. Because if you give the ayat Quran Sharif straight away, then it's possible that, hey, but why like this? Why not like that? Why like that? But I give the whole explanation, now supported the Quran Sharif, now his mind is right. That Quran Sharif is like the seed. That is where everything will germinate, right? And you are like the farm. The farm is covered with rubble, with stone, with thorns, with all type of obstructions. Now you're going to put your seed straight away. Is there anything that's going to come out from there? You have to clean all that muck and all that mess, and then sow your seeds, then you see how it flourishes. It flourishes. So I said, see, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ. So the condition is آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Right? آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ. He'll appoint you as the rulers, right? And then Allah says afterwards in one verse, الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. Now you're going to do Amr بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِي عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. In one of these lands, what happens? They put you in jail. They'll kill you or they'll put you in jail. Won't it happen? Isn't it a fact? So then what are you fighting for then? So that's the actual work that's supposed to be done here. If someone is looking really unbiased, without any prejudice, if I'm making a mistake, then tell me. And if I'm not making a mistake, then support this. Right? And then everybody will do according to his capacity. How much he can do? He can do a maktab, he'll do it. 50 maktab, 60 maktab. In his free time, what he's doing to help out, right? So there is hope. There's no such a thing that there isn't hope. See, look at the Quran Sharif ayats. The Quran Sharif is the base. After that, everything else is an explanation. The hadith is an explanation to the Quran Sharif. يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. Can anybody do anything after that? If Allah is on your side, can anybody touch you? But then your question will be, then how do we secure the help of Allah Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala answers, see, the Quran Sharif got all the answers, but just that we don't apply our mind. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُ. Doesn't he say that? Isn't it a promise? Isn't it with taqid? Isn't it with emphasis? وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ. You support me, support my deen, I will support you, I will take care of you. But now, we left the Quran, so everybody is putting his 2 cents, 3 cents, 5 cents aside, and expecting it to work. How is it going to work? And then it's not working, you know, so the Quran says, you know, I don't know what's going on, man. People make this type of statements, I think Allah is nowadays supporting the Jews, not with us. Whatever statements they make. So just to get the minds cleared, I say you have to give illustrations. In around 1920s, there was a similar thing carrying on when the World War was taking place. And there are some taqrees of Imam Thani Sahib that we must study, right? But he gave it in a different explanation. That explanation is more mantiki, right? But that same mantiki explanation I'll give it to you in simple words, right? It's an extraction from his taqreed that he gave in Delhi, right, around 1920s. So if I tell you, sugar sweetens. What's the property of sugar? Sweetens. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Islam will prevail, right? Islam must prevail. So then you ask, why doesn't it prevail today? Right. So I say sugar sweetens, right? What's the property? What's the nature of sugar? You add it, it'll bring some sweetness, right? Now, you got a 20,000 liter drum, right? And you put half spoon sugar. Mona, what a dirty lie. The masjid, Allah Pak's house is speaking lies. I put sugar, no sweet. So what will you tell him? By you bring the proportion of sugar, it'll make a difference. If it's 20,000 liters drum, then at least put 1,000 liters of, or 1,000 spoons of sugar at least. At least something like that, 1,000 or say 5,000 tablespoons of sugar, it'll make a difference. But I put half a spoon, speaking a lie. You didn't do it in that proportion. You brought it in that proportion, it will definitely make a difference. Here also, whatever is going on, right? So whatever is going on, this also is the raham and the karam of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, you look at our people's behavior globally, right? We don't even deserve this. It is just the karam of Allah Ta'ala that with all our weaknesses, Allah Ta'ala still supports us. I ask you, doesn't it happen? From the good news that you're hearing, someone is seeing Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, somebody is seeing Malaika, whatever they're seeing, right? But with all the weaknesses, etc., with our broken efforts, Allah is still supporting. Imagine if we come united and we all stand together. وَعْتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. We hold on that. Then what will happen? Then فَرِشْتَ تُمْهَارِ مَدَدْ كُو اُتْرَيْنْگِ. Allama Iqbal rahmatullahi. Alright, some of his things we will not agree, right? He'll never be and all that, we know. But he's thinking what's right. In most cases, he's thinking what's right. One place he says, فِضَاءِ بَدَرْ كُو پَيْدَا كَرُو. Create the atmosphere of Badr. As you create the atmosphere of Badr, فَرِشْتَ تَرِي نُسْرَتْ كُو اُتْرَيْنْگِ. The malaika, you'll get the malaika coming out, coming down to help and support you. But what's required of you is you create that atmosphere of Badr. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ. What were you? You were very ill-equipped. Azilla, full of zalil. Don't say you were despised. You were ill-equipped, you were weak at that time. And Allah Ta'ala supported you. So when He could support you then, He'll support you now also. But then, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ. Make yourself a Badri. Then you get the support. Don't worry about your numbers, but make yourself a Badri. See what happens. That was one of Allama Iqbal's. The last closing now, it's about 5 minutes left now. Again, it's Allama Iqbal Rahman's statement, right? A lot of words of his are words of wisdom. But I will not say that everything is right. Some, perhaps he had an isolated opinion, so we'll keep it aside. But a lot of his works, his opinion, his thinking was right. He says that a Muslim must be kind. In all what you are doing, show the kindness. The small, the big, the Muslim, the non-Muslim, but show the kindness, right? But then he says after that, but the kindness mustn't be such that the Muslim begins to doubt you. What he's saying is something very deep. What? What he's saying? Show kindness, but not at the level that your own people begin to have suspicions against you. Ki ye hamare saath hai, ya hamare dushmano ke saath hai. Is he supportive of Islam, or is he supportive of something else? What is he supporting? So, what he's saying is that you don't dilute things. Don't mix up, don't dilute things. When you're going to be diluting things, then people will doubt your integrity. Okay, this man is standing for us, or he's standing for the enemy. He's standing for Islam, or he's standing for something else. What is he standing for? I ask you, doesn't it happen to the average Muslim? If you are having all this type of things, right, diluting things, when you're diluting things, doesn't it mess and mix the mind of the ordinary person? So he says, you show the kindness, but then you show your parameters as well. This is the parameter, you move accordingly, don't go beyond that parameter. It's not just about attracting crowds, no. It's about وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. The provision is with a provision that you will prevail when you're true in your faith. Now you say, no, Islam says, Labak says, أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. And you forget about أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. You forget about that. I ask you, are you fair? Not fair, he's giving you a promise, أَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You will prevail. But when? In kuntum mu'minin. And you got that, then you got our support. But now you want to say, no, Allah, give me the support. That in kuntum mu'minin, we'll see about it later on. But now you give us the support. I ask you, is the demand right? Is the reasoning right? Is the understanding right? Or is it flawed? So you see this, where we stand. As a Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi, something for our consolation, comfort, what we can do, right? So, he writes, under the hadith of Auf ibn Malik Ashja'i rahmatullahi, when his son was taken as a captive by the kuffar, right? So, Auf ibn Malik Ashja'i and his wife were very perturbed that the dushman has taken away our son. Any person, your child is kidnapped, how you feel? So Rasul, a lot of hadiths, but I'm just giving you an extract of all the hadiths, right? So Rasulullah's advice was, recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah in abundance and observe taqwa. You, both of you, will observe taqwa and recite La hawla in abundance. Yes. And it was just a matter of time, and he found the enemies to be ghafil and he escaped. It's a war situation, so I don't want to give you the whole thing about Darul Harb and condition, etc. It's a war situation. If it's a war situation, then they kidnap you with your stuff and you can take them off also with your stuff. Because it's a war situation. So he found the camels and he saw the goods and he moved on. So the Mujaddid Al-Fasani rahmatullahi, under this he says that this is an experience of all the ulama of Buzughan al-Din, that when you're in a crisis, when there's a problem, right, then you recite this La Hawla 500 times, awal akhir durud sharif 100 times, and then sincerely make dua for Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, sooner or later Allah Ta'ala will create an exit. So there is no reason ghabra jane aur pareshan hone ki koi zarurat nahi hai. But isko socho, think, to hamare karne ka kaam hum kar rahe hain ya nahi, what we supposed to be doing, are we doing that or not? Allah Ta'ala.